Okay, so for these bonus questions, I got to ask you first, since we're both big fans of the Eagles, for better or for worse, what's your prediction for this? Obviously, you can probably hear Dave talk about this on BGN Radio, which is another podcast you should be listening to, but I'm going to ask you for my radio show. What do you see them doing this year? Is this a good year for the Eagles, bad year for the Eagles? Carson Wentz going to step up, or is it just going to be another downhill slope?
No, I think this year, I think expectations should be around, say, 9-7, maybe even, you know, second place in the division. I wouldn't – they have – they're significantly better in a number of areas from last year to this year, but they have no depth. And that's a – that's – and we saw last year they got out to a 3-0 start.
They yeah, went, really
when Lane Johnson was playing, they were something like – they had a winning record. When Lane Johnson played, they had a winning record. When everybody was healthy and able to play, they were a good team. But when one – even just one guy couldn't play, it kind of started to fall apart. And so you have the same – you're going to have the same thing this year where Alshon Jeffrey, he should be great. He's a number one wide receiver in this league. But after that – I don't know. Everybody gets excited about Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith had fewer catches last year than Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, he's no number two.
No, I mean, he's legitimate. Two. He's got speed, and, you know, he's a legitimate deep threat, and he will help open up the field a little. But what if Alshon gets hurt? Now you're back to the worst receiving group in the league.
You got
Mac Hollins?
Yeah, Mac Collins.
You know what? I like the idea of him, and maybe he'll be something, but he's a rookie.
He's a future Hall of Famer, man. You know, that's what I've heard.
Brown Award preseason favorite.
Yeah.
What if Jason Peters or Lane Johnson gets hurt or suspended again?
Right.
You know, then
right.
Offensive line, you know, they got a lot. They got 37 guys who could play interior, but they don't have anybody to play exterior. They have no cornerbacks, although, you know, they got young guys, so we'll see what happens there. But it's just... They have no depth, so I just think people need to realize that they've got to temper their expectations a bit. But I do see a record, so long as they don't have significant injuries to, you know, like Carson Wentz stuff.
Sure, yeah, of course. Yeah, play with Nick Foles probably wouldn't make it all that much better.
Better than Chase Daniel. I'd rather have Nick Foles than Chase Daniel.
I would, too. The Chase Daniel contract is such a... it's a whole other podcast. All right, cool. Okay, I have a standard last question for you, but you mentioned at the middle of the podcast, Project Cars. So, or towards the end of the podcast, Project Cars. So, are you a racing fan? Are you a racing game guy?
Racing fan. The Project Cars. It was, you know, there's been Gran Turismo forever.
Yeah, of course.
It's funny, Gran Turismo, the first one that came out. Loved that game, and the intro is the it's weird how, like, here's an example of how a video game can, like, impact your life. The very first Gran Turismo, the intro was a Chemical Brothers song, and they used a part of a song by a band called the Manic Street Preachers. I think you know who they are. I was like, oh, I kind of like this, and like that, like, opened the door to me to them, and now they're one of my favorite bands, and it's like, wow, that's like, and I wouldn't have known who they are if it wasn't for playing Gran Turismo.
Yeah, it's a very Tony Hawk's. I think probably a lot of people had the same experience with, like, the Tony Hawk soundtracks, maybe the early Madden soundtracks, although probably not. But yeah, I mean, that's an awesome story.
Yeah, but no, Gran Turismo, it's fun, but there's so many things in it that are just pointless. Like, they're like, oh, we have like 1600 cars. Yeah, but 1500 of them I don't want to drive. Like, the last one, you had to, like, the first car you would, you, when you start out, you could only drive a Honda Fit.
Oh no.
Which, it's like, who's racing these in real, find me the person who's racing a Honda Fit. Yeah.
And if you're not doing well.
Yeah, and then you had to, like, unlock everything. With Project Cars, you can try race whatever you want on wherever you want within of what they have. No unlocking, sure. No nothing. You want to jump into the most current Le Mans prototype, which are hugely technical cars, and drive on Le Mans or Nürburgring, you can go ahead and do that, and you'll crash a whole bunch of times, which is great. But you don't have to lock it. In Gran Turismo, you had to like get all the way to the final level to do anything with pit stops.
Oh.
Now here, boom, right away, you can do, and it's great because you can just do whatever you want. It really, it's kind of an open world racing game that you can do whatever you want. The only constraints there, though, is that they didn't have a huge budget. So they only have a limited amount of cars and a limited amount of tracks, but the tracks are pretty good. Okay. It's extremely realistic, though, because the guy that played the Stig for a while on Top Gear, he was involved in it, and they've had it's a very fun game. They're coming out with a sequel soon, or they're planning to. But yeah, it's crazy.
So
that's the
nice. Can you drive a Honda Fit?
I have driven a Honda Fit, and I have to tell you, it's a pretty roomy car.
Yeah, no, I have friends who've owned a Honda Fit. I've driven with them. It's a nice car. It's not something I'd race in.
No, that's the thing. Like you have to purchase the cars in Gran Turismo. You don't have to do anything.
Okay.
You win money when you race. They have a career mode in Project Cars, but that's just to give you like a linear storyline. If you just wanted to make a race, you could just make a race. So it's if you like racing games but you don't want to deal with all the unlocking crap, Project Cars.
Okay, interesting. So like for you, racing games. So like racing games are one of those genres that like that we were talking about. Like I for whatever reason I've always bounced off it, and I'll use the Kushbaum caveat and say it may be because I'm really bad at racing games.
I know what you mean there. Like, I don't play first-player shooter games, not because I think they're bad or I don't like them. It's because I'm fucking terrible at them.
Yeah, like, I'm okay at FPS. I'm very bad at racing games. So, like, you know, you can catch me. And I played all the way through Doom, happily, the new one and the old one. I might look at Project Cars because it sounds like it would be like a fun thing in the same way like Euro Truck Simulator is fun for me, like looking at scenery. But like I'm not gonna be able to get far into it. And like it's interesting to me though to hear you talk about it because it sounds to me like the appeal for you is the simulation element, like being able to actually like almost feel like you're realistically driving these insane cars you couldn't possibly ever drive.
Yeah. Yeah, they have all kinds. You can go out in like a. I don't know if they have Porsche, but you can go out in like a. They have Audis. So you can go out in like an R10, which is their sports car, and you can drive on they have Monaco. Monaco Grand Prix just happened.
Okay.
You could do Monaco, or you can get into a 1969 Lotus F1 car. Which is way cool. Now, how they figured out the handling characteristics, I don't know. But you can tweak every little thing in there, and you can make a race with 40 other cars.
Wow.
It's crazy.
That's intense.
Yeah, and you could set it up like, all right, so in a real race, you have days of practice, and then you have qualifying, and then you have a little warm-up practice before the race, and then you have the race. And you could do that in this game. You can have two practices, and then you can have a qualifying, and then you have a little warm up, and then you have the race. And you can set the race to be whatever you want. You can make it 10 laps. You can make it 4 hours. You can make it 6 hours. Like real life.
Interesting.
And yeah, I get it. You have a little there's a little British guy that talks to you from the pit, which it's the same voice on everyone. Which I get that you know you save money, you just have one guy do it. But it does kind of seem weird that this guy follows you around your whole racing career if you do the career
mode.
It's like
your coach. It's like Mick from Rocky. Yeah,
and he'll tell you things like after they happened, like I had when I crashed, I went off and I crashed, and the guy just goes, he's like, oh, you got to come in now. I was like, yeah, no, I got to come in. The front of my car is missing. Of
course, I can't drive right now.
Yeah, I can't even drive this thing. Yeah, it won't even let me drive. Yeah, we think you need to come in. You think?
Really? Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I think in some ways I've been playing racing games all wrong in that way, because it's always been for me about winning the race, and I am just so bad at it that I bounce off it immediately. But like thinking about them as sort of like I don't know, just kind of existing in the world is, that sounds really appealing.
I love it because you can race on the actual,
that's super cool.
Actual race cars. And
I mean, when are you going to drive in the Autobahn or whatever?
They have the Nürburgring, which is about, it's like 15 miles, 120 turns.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Then they have made up, a couple of made up ones that are fun too, but they have real racetracks, real cars, and that's how they advertise. Like, you can just jump in, drop whatever you want, and that's cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. All right, so for my last question, this is a question I ask everyone. Given unlimited funds, unlimited ability, no limits at all to your personal, basically no limits, what would be the game that you would most like to create or see in the world?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
Yeah, people like that one.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I guess it would be one where I'm some kind of superhero.
Okay.
I guess. Or Moscow Noir, which is going around arresting people.
There you go. Right. So, but I mean, that's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, just
like an open world superhero, or
I think like an open world superhero where, like, I can be good or bad on, like, a moment's notice. Like, I could just go, I could just, like, fly somewhere, land somewhere, just, like, punch someone, fly away, then go somewhere else and, like, rescue somebody.
Right.
Just be like a mischievous. I'd be the mischievous superhero.
Just some sort of, like, so you're the ideal game is just like a superhero who has no basic sense of like
you're just like chaotic good and like lawful evil, like I'd be whatever. Nice. Whatever that alignment is, where I can just do whatever the hell I want, whenever I want.
But I like
it. Concussions, obviously, so if I get back to the place where I punch the guy randomly, I gotta get,
you're not gonna be well liked there.
Back,
Yeah, right. That's interesting. It's sort of like, it reminds me of like a version of, I'm trying to think. It's like that, it reminds me of a version of that really short-lived superhero MMO, the Marvel one that didn't last super long.
I know of what you mean. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't either. It wasn't
Marvel
super successful.
Was it just Marvel Superheroes or something like that?
It might have been, I'm having it. No, you know what? It wasn't a Marvel game. They had, people did skins with that. It was something Heroes or
Heroes.
Oh,
that was,
man.
Wasn't it? No, I don't.
It's
something like,
it's not super important. Yeah something like that.
It was
that.
Something really simple. Like, it was one of the things. The title, you knew what it was from the title.
Mm-hmm,
it wasn't like other games where you like Metal Gear Solid. What the hell is that game about? Based on title, you don't know. I remember
that's a tactical stealth.
Like, okay, great.
Right, exactly. But I mean, that was sort of one of those games where, like, that was the pitch, but the sort of reality was, it's just kind of like an MMO, and you have to have a clan and stuff like that.
Yeah, no,
but
I don't want any clan. I don't want any storyline. I just want to be able to go around and do whatever the hell I want. I want an open world, truly open world superhero game. Well, there could be other superheroes, and I got to battle them. That's fine. But I want to be able to, like, be an asshole and then be a nice guy.
This is the No Man's Sky on one planet that you were talking about.
This is good.
Yeah.
For me, I'd want there's enough to do on one planet. I don't need billions of other ones.
All right, man. Well, that sounds good. I like it. All right. Well, thanks again, Dave. It's been a pleasure having you here. Follow Dave at Southern Philly. Is there an underscore between those two?
Underscore.
Okay. Southern_Philly.
Someone took it without underscore before I got to it.
Someone who lives in Southern Philly, probably.
I like the people that think that I live in South Philly.
Yeah.
Once in a while, think I'm like an Italian guy in South Philly, and like at me with some stuff, and I'm like, dude, I'm Irish German, and I live in the South.
I've thought that too. Before I got to know you, I thought that you were like, you lived in South Philly. So I will cop to that. But yeah, he's a Southerner who is interested in Philly.
I'm a carpetbagger.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Carpetbagger. So any of my Southern listeners can direct their ire to him at Southern_Philly. And also follow him for, all the Eagles stuff, Bitty Green Nation, all that good stuff. I'm vaguely and loosely affiliated with them, but Dave actually does the hard work. All right, man. Well, thanks again for being on. Anytime, come on back.
Absolutely. Thank you, man.